I've got a little job for you this morning, okay? You know how to take your pulse? We're all going to take our pulse here. I want you to find it. We're going to play a little 10-second running deal on the screen. So if you want to use your wrist, you can do it, or you can do it here. Now, I'm making sure everybody's doing this, okay? Thank you, Scott. I saw you kind of hesitating there. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. When the 10-second timer starts, you just see how many beats you have for 10 seconds, and then you multiply it by 6, right, to get your beats per minute. Okay, let's start our 10-second timer. Do you need it one more time, or did you get it? Got it? Okay, 6 times what, Lonzo? What'd you get? Couldn't get it? No? We have a nurse back there to help you out. Okay. Mark, did you get yours? 60 total. Okay. Very good, Mark. You relaxed? Anybody else? We got people still trying to get it. Okay. If you're like in 150, you might want to go check back there. Y'all, one day I was running with this guy. We were just barely jogging. It just started. He had one of these watches on like I have. He said his beats per minute was 175. I said, your watch is broken. About 2 days later, he says, I went to the doctor. Neil, you're an idiot. y'all, I am kind of very aware about what's going on with our physical heart from the family I came from. I'm not going to tell you about my uncles and my grandmother and their heart problems, but my dad and my brother, one starting at 37, it started at 29, they have had 15 heart procedures between them. And I love your response right now. Oh, there was a lot of noise. And I want you to understand that Solomon has something today to say that when he said it to his sons and daughters, they should have said, oh, how? So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. And I'm going to, again, have some verses on the screens, but I do want you to open up so you get a sense yourself that you can find this. This is actually the first verse in Proverbs that I memorized as a new believer in Jesus. Proverbs 4, verse 23, and let's do this. Let's read this together from the screen so we all operating on the same sheet here. Let's read what Solomon says to his sons and daughters. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Let's read it again that it might sink in. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And you get it when I say, my brother and my dad have had 15 heart procedures, which have included multiple open heart surgeries. And I want to tell you why we're going to this verse today, because of last week. Do y'all remember last week where I tried to offend everybody by calling us all idiots? Okay. We said this, the wise person in the book of Proverbs chooses what? Chooses life. The wise person chooses life, and the fool chooses death. And to get the edge of this word fool and the idea that it shows up about 100 times in the book of Proverbs, in one way or another, Solomon's saying to his sons and daughters, don't be a fool, don't be a fool, don't be a fool. I used that word idiot that I wasn't supposed to say when I was a little kid. And we said this, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. I had some good discussions this week about this. This is, you know, I said this totally obliterates the number one value in our culture, which says, trust in your own heart. Or this way, follow your own heart, right? And what Proverbs 4:23 tells us is that we do not follow our own heart, but we watch over our heart. If you don't get anything today, I wanted to just say this right up front. We don't follow our own heart. We watch over our heart. Got it? We do not give decisive authority of our lives to our own heart, but to the heart of Jesus. Amen? See, we don't want to follow our own heart. We want to follow the heart of Jesus himself, who in him are all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge, right? I want to say something about the heart here. Just that we would be really clear on what Solomon was thinking when he says to his sons and daughters, do not follow your own heart. Timothy Keller and his wife Kathy did actually a devotional where you have a little reading each day on the book of Proverbs, and I really liked how he just captured the idea of what was Solomon thinking in his day and time when he used the term heart. In the Bible, the heart is not primarily the seat of emotions in contrast to the head as the seat of reason. Got it? Rather, the heart is the seat of your deepest trust, your deepest commitments, your deepest love from which everything flows. What the heart most loves and trusts, the mind finds reasonable, the emotions find desirable, and the will finds doable. Okay, leave that up there just for a second. Here's what we're saying, that our heart is not just our feelings. It is our deepest commitments, our deepest trust, our deepest loves, our deepest hopes, our deepest dreams that will take you all kinds of places, right? So here's what we're going to do here. We're going to just walk through this passage. We're going to talk about why Solomon says, watch over your heart. We're going to talk about what does it actually take to watch over your heart. And then we're going to talk about how to do it. Got it? Why, what, and how. So let's start first with why does Solomon say, watch over your heart? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, for from it flow the springs of life. It's that clear. Here's why Solomon says it, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, I want to show you a picture here. I was in Breckenridge. Veal and I did a little hike, and this is a picture of a reservoir, Blue Lakes Reservoir. Isn't that beautiful? Now, there was a sign that is not in this picture. I wish I had taken a picture of it. There was a sign up there that said, don't put stuff in this reservoir. Don't put your trash in this. Don't mess with this because this is your drinking water. I guess it's the drinking water for the city of Breckenridge. And Solomon says, you watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And maybe this is why Solomon said things like this about the heart. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of a person weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of a person weighs it down. Now, this makes sense, doesn't it? If the heart is about our deepest loves, our deepest commitments, our deepest trust, every person here has ever said, you know, my job is my everything, and you lost that job, you know about anxiety, right? And every parent knows this when it's hard not to make your children your deepest love, your deepest commitments, and your deepest trust. And when they don't go the way you hoped they would go, we have what? Anxiety. Next verse here, another verse in Proverbs, just understanding this idea of what is going on in the heart. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 13, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a, there it is again, tree of life, right? That when your kids are making A's or the star in the school musical or football team or whatever you have, sometimes it can feel like, oh man, you're on top of the world, right? I want to show you one more here as we just think about this, that we have to watch over our heart with all diligence because from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are bad. Now there's a realistic statement from the book of Proverbs. But a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Here's why you watch over your heart. Because Jesus promised us something. Anyone who believes in me will have rivers of living water. If you drink from me, you'll never be thirsty. You'll have a continual feast. I'm the bread of life. If you eat my bread, you will never go hungry. And I just want to say today, that is the promise to every person who's believed in Jesus here today. And I hope if you haven't believed in Jesus, you would believe in him just for that. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. You watch over it. My dad and my brother, they have had multiple open heart surgeries, quadruple bypasses, triple bypasses, double bypasses. And I know I have a friend here who hates it when I talk about stuff like this because he doesn't like blood. But you know, when you have bypass surgery as they had, they take some veins out of your legs, crack you open, and put those veins in there. It's kind of a drastic measure, right? And your legs, I will tell you, aren't what they used to be. When you start taking all the veins out of there, you can get. But you know, you do it because you got to watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the strings of life. And sometimes it does take drastic measures. In fact, why does Solomon say, watch over your heart? Because from it flows the strings of life. Now, what does it actually take? Watch what Solomon says. Watch over your heart with what? Say it. All diligence. See, a lot of people come to church and they say, wow, this really feels good in the moment. But it's another thing to actually act out and live on what you hear, right? You know, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says a lot about the heart. And he says, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. And we love those kinds of things. And later, in the book of Matthew, Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. You know what Jesus says? There are a few wise people who choose life, and there are many foolish people who actually choose death. Because right after Jesus said this, he gives his own little proverb or parable. You know it. Jesus said, the person who hears the words that I speak, the person who is diligent about obeying the words that Jesus speaks, is like a what? You say it. It's like a wise person who built their house on the rock. And when the troubles and pain and difficulties of life come, their house stands. And the person who is not diligent about obeying and living out the words Jesus speaks, now come on, you know what it is like a what? Foolish person who built their house on the sand. And when the troubles came and all of life hits hard, that house falls with a great crash. See, diligence requires this, that I keep doing what is necessary when I'm tired, when I'm bored, when I'm disinterested, and when it's not enjoyable, right? That's diligence. When I'm tired, when I'm bored, when I'm disinterested, when it's not enjoyable. You know, there is a sign somewhere right now in Breckenridge on top of a mountain that says, don't mess with this water. And it does it when it's cold, when it's raining, whether it wants to be there or not. Okay, y'all, you know, one of the ways that we do a heart check is not just through finding out our pulse. We have our cholesterol checked. How many here have ever had your cholesterol checked? Raise your hand high, okay? I was asking a buddy of mine this morning how his cholesterol was. 37 years old. My dad feels a little pain. Feels like the springs of life are getting a little clogged up. Some pain in his arm. He goes to a doctor. They take blood. They check his cholesterol, 265. And that's nothing, y'all. Because my brother, when he was 29 years old, starts feeling a little pain, looks like the springs are getting clogged up, feels some pain in his arm, he goes to the doctor, they do a little check on him, cholesterol, 450. Can anybody here beat that? It's not a competition. So you know what the doctor says, right? After he goes, whoa. The doctor says, you need to change your what? Your diet. Now, if you've had some pain and you get a number of 450 on your cholesterol, you're pretty motivated, right? At least for the first 2 weeks. Because if any of you had to do this, you know how hard this is. I'm gonna eat some vegetables. Oh, I can't eat this. I can't eat that. I can't eat this. You know, the problem in Louisiana, that's where they live. They got fried shrimp in Louisiana, y'all. And they got fried oysters. And they got fried and fried everything else. And it all tastes better fried, right? So after about a month, we know I got cholesterol 450. I had a really bad pain in my chest. A pain in my arm. What happens? We're bored. And we're tired. And we're disinterested. And this is not enjoyable. And Solomon says you have to watch out over your heart with all diligence. And so I have a little news flash for you all this morning. And before I give it, I want to say this. When I trusted in Jesus, when I moved from death to life, that's what it talks about when a person says, I finally believe in Jesus, I'm not gonna trust in myself to get me to an eternity with God. When I did that when I was a college student, that started a journey that has been the most exciting journey I've ever been on. To this day, I will say it is the greatest decision I ever made by the grace of God. It was the greatest moment in my life. I will tell you that year after year, I still look back on that and say, wow, I've been a part of things I've never thought I would have been a part of. I've chosen some things in my life, health and a life in a way that I was not choosing before I came to know Jesus. The greatest, greatest, greatest thing ever. Now, here's the news flash. Sometimes people who really love Jesus find themselves disinterested, tired, bored, and it doesn't always seem enjoyable. You're not alone, and it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. And my hope and prayer, by the grace of God, by the work of the Spirit, by the encouragement of the community, by the small groups you're going to be getting into this fall, and if you haven't been in one yet, please get in one. Find one, even if it doesn't feel convenient to you, that you would walk out of here Sunday after Sunday and say, I am going to keep doing that which is necessary to choose life, because our God is for life, okay? So why? Why do we watch over our heart? Because from it flows the springs of life. What does it take? It does take diligence over many days and many years until Jesus calls you home. Now, how? How do you do it? I want to show you another picture here of this Blue Lakes Reservoir. When I first took a picture of this, I actually went right up to that fence, put my camera through one of the little squares in that chain link fence. But there's this actual fence there that is there day and night watching over that reservoir. What does it look like for us to very specifically, practically say, I'm going to watch over my heart with that amount of intentionality, that it isn't just going to happen, right? Because we know every moment, every day, there are competing forces saying, oh, don't follow the heart of Jesus, just follow your own heart, right? As I already said, that's what our culture is saying. That there is something deep within us that wants to give decisive authority of our lives to our hearts instead of the heart of Jesus. Now, when I thought about this, how, y'all, I started thinking of, man, we would have been 2 hours in this sermon. I started thinking about all the possibilities I could say here. And what I want to do is I just want to give three principles, okay, for you then to go and apply how you are specifically going to watch over your heart. And I want you to know the principles are just going to come from this little section of text surrounding Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The first principle is this: people shape our hearts. Amen? You believe that? Let me tell you why I say that from the text, y'all. I'm not just coming up with any application that I can find. I'm giving you from the text. If you go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, the verses right before, Solomon says this, my son, give attention to my words. Proverbs 4, 20, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their body. And over and over and over again, Solomon says to his son, you listen to my words. You listen to your mother's words. A fool despises the wisdom of his father. Because Solomon knows people shape our hearts. And you know what I really think Solomon is doing? He is coming to his teenagers and saying, people shape your hearts, don't just listen to your teenage friends. In fact, I think he said it this way. Listen, you know that people shape your hearts, so if you watch YouTube all day, and you spend 10 hours watching whoever your role model is on YouTube, and you spend 10 hours doing that, and a couple minutes here and there in the Word of God, don't be surprised if all of their desires are all of a sudden all of your desires. Because people shape our hearts. And we know it doesn't just happen to teenagers, it happens to adults. And so, we need to think about how am I intentional about getting in front of, getting time with those people who are locked into God's wisdom to shape my heart. You know, I think about some of the people in my life who have shaped my heart, like Pastor Arville Wilson of West Dallas Community Church, and how I would just want to get time with him. As a person who I know had a whole different experience in life than me, loved God, and I wanted to know what he had to say. I think about my friend Rick Lehman, who he's lived the last 20 so years in Asia, and we would have these Thursday night phone calls. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says this: the purposes in the heart of a person is like deep water, but a person of understanding draws it out. He says, you know, those drives in us, they go really deep. And sometimes it's really even hard for us to understand why I do what I do. Amen? You ever say, why did I do that? And you know, in these conversations with Rick, there were times when there was something I thought I should say yes to, and Rick drawing this out of me, I realized I needed to say no. And there were times there were things I thought I needed to say no to, and after talking to Rick, I realized I needed to say yes. You know, if you really want to take this seriously and you're thinking about what would that look like for me to watch over my heart, knowing people shape my heart, some of it is what you read. And some of us, we need to get into some of those biographies of people that at least are a bit removed from our very current culture that says, follow your own heart, okay? Y'all, I was driving home from Colorado with my granddaughter, and I was listening probably for the 10th time, literally the 10th time, The Chronicles of Narnia again, okay? I know it's a kid's book. Because C.S. Lewis is a person that's shaping my heart. Along with a guy like Jim Elliot, who I read about in college, who died as a missionary to a tribe in South America. And y'all, I'll tell you, I'm a brand new believer in Jesus. I start reading about Jim Elliot's life. And apparently I was going around talking like him, imitating him, because people shape our hearts. And Vila, who was not my wife at the time, of course, made fun of me. But that's what happens. People shape our hearts. And you know what? I love the idea of being made fun of, speaking like a Jim Elliot, and maybe just living a little bit like somebody like that. People shape our hearts. Let me give you a second one. Our actions shape our hearts. Our actions shape our hearts. Now, I want you to look at this carefully, because often in church we say it the other way. We say our hearts shape our actions, which is true, because I've said it's the source of your deepest drives and deepest commitments, and it's going to lead you places, but we are whole people, and it works the other way also. And here's why I say our actions shape our hearts. Watch what Solomon does. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And the very next verse says this: put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Our words, the actions of our words, shape our hearts, right? Here's one of the ways we know this. You talk bad about somebody long enough and your heart sours toward them, right? Our words shape our hearts. Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look directly ahead of you, and let your gaze be fixed straight ahead of you. Guys, we know this, right? Our actions shape our hearts, and where we look and what we look at shapes our hearts. Now, again, I know our hearts are driven to certain things. And I've got to say it because it is so prevalent. And I want to just shine the light on this when it's appropriate. You know, That pornography shrivels, twists, darkens the heart of men and women, right? In a way that so distorts the beautiful, beautiful gift of God called physical intimacy between a man and a woman. Next verse. It says, do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Our actions shape our hearts. Where we walk, where we go, what we do shapes our hearts, right? I'm not even going to comment on it because I want to go to the next one. People shape our hearts. Our actions shape our hearts. And lastly, our worship shapes our hearts. Worship shapes our hearts. Now, please don't check out on me because this sounds like a nice religious thought, okay? I want to go back to verse 25, that verse that talks about our eyes. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Hear me say this. If we gaze long enough at something, and if we gaze longingly enough at something, it will capture our hearts, right? If we gaze long enough at something, and if we gaze longingly enough at something, it will capture your hearts. You know it because we fall in love with cars, because we fall in love with things like clothes. But I'm telling you, if you gaze longingly enough at this word, and you gaze long enough at it, you will fall in love with it. I promise you that. If we gaze long enough at God Himself and longingly enough as He has revealed Himself in this word, you will fall in love with Him. He will capture your heart. This old Scottish preacher, last name Chalmers, he wrote a very famous sermon. Y'all, I'm sure have heard the title before because lots of people have talked about it. The title was this, The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. You like that? Expulsive power of a new affection. You know, it is a radical thing to rip somebody's chest open, pull it open, and start cutting out things and put something new in because from it flows the springs of life. And what Chalmers is talking about, he's saying the way that we keep the love of the world out of our hearts is by keeping our hearts in the love of God. That's the new affection every one of us wants. So hear me say, please never ever hear us simply say at this church, don't do something. No, run to life, run to Him. Don't follow your own heart, guard it by following the heart of Jesus. I was listening to an interview recently with Timothy Keller, and he was talking about the importance of all the things I'm talking about here. He was also talking about the many, many publicized failures of Christian leaders. And, you know, he talked about how important accountability is. People shape our hearts and all these things. But he said this, I know of only one thing that will ultimately keep you from sin, keep you from being a fool, keep you from being an idiot. He said, I only know of one thing because the reality is I can lie to you if you're holding me accountable. And we know many, many Christian leaders who fell, they actually had accountability. They were lying to their closest friends. He says, I only know one thing is to keep myself in the love of God, to worship Him, that the beauty and the excellencies and the glory of Jesus Himself would be my greatest love, that I've gazed long enough and longingly enough at Him. Worship does shape your hearts, church. Do you believe it? Church, do you believe that your worship, and let me make the starting point of your worship is this. I do not follow my own heart. I'm just following the heart of Jesus. That's worship there. And therefore, anything you do it all to the glory of God. But you don't just do it individually. You do it together in your small groups when you get over together over the word. And you do it right here. I don't know what you think you're coming for here on Sunday morning. I cringe every time we say something like, okay, now let's get back to worship and we think about singing a song. I'm talking about everything here you're doing together is worship. I hope we see it as everything we're doing is worship. And I am going to invite us right now. We're going to get ready to sing a song. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray over us. But that you would say, this song is us asking right now for God to grab our hearts so we don't be the fool. Okay? Let's stand together and then I'm going to pray. So, Father in heaven, I thank you that we have a wisdom not from this world. Because I know this, that if I didn't have your Bible right now, I would say the number one way to live a successful, joyful, happy life is to follow my own heart. And I constantly overestimate my own heart. So, Lord, I just pray right now that you would take this moment of worship, that in the song it would be our desire to say, Jesus, we are not giving decisive authority over our lives to our hearts, but we're giving it to you. Jesus, we want to follow your heart, not our own heart. And so we're going to say, Lord, would you answer this request right now? Be our ultimate vision. Be that which our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, look at long and longingly. Connect our hearts to your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.